It was the Bank of England's Hugh Pill, of course, who talked about interest rates being a bit like Table Mountain, flat for some time to come. So where is the Fed on that mountain plateau? Does a bit of weaker data at the end of last week mean that they will try and climb down a bit faster? Well, it's non-farm payrolls on Friday. That might answer that question. And Europe, inflation is coming down, but more slowly than expected, we found out on Friday. Are they going to hold off before they jump on the cable car down? It's Monday. It's the 4th of March, 2024. It's the Morning Call from NAB. Good morning. Well, there's no doubt about it. Treasury yields are falling, particularly at the front end of the curve. US two-year yields down almost 4 basis points on Friday and down 16 across the week last week. Compared to that, 10 years were down just 7 basis points over the week compared to gilt yields, which were up almost 8 basis points last week. And interestingly, Aussie 10 years followed the direction of the United States with yields down 5.5 basis points on Aussie 10-year futures last week. On currencies, well, the US was marginally down over the week on the DXY, but the big loser, the Kiwi dollar, down almost 1.5% over the week. Next out of the majors was the Aussie dollar, which was down about 0.5% last week. On equities, the Nikkei was the big winner. It was up 1.9% on Friday and over 2% across the week. And next for the week, the DAX up 1.8%, then the NASDAQ up 1.7%. The CSI 300 in China also doing well last week, and the ASX 200 not far behind it. So a great week for share markets just about everywhere, it seems. And oil forging ahead. WTI climbed 4.6% last week. It was particularly a good week for coal. Not so good for iron ore, which was 4.7% down at the end of the week, down 1.6% just on Friday alone. So to chew over all of that, here's Taylor Nugent from NAB in Melbourne. Interesting, isn't it, how tail end of last week, we were talking about the core PCE that had showed that inflation was coming down. It was just taking some time. So we thought that, well, okay, maybe that means the Fed is going to take some time. And yet we've seen, you know, yields at the front end particularly falling further, clearly not because of the PCE numbers. It was whatever else happened on Friday.
Yeah, so core PCE out on Thursday and just kind of confirming that signal, I think, that we had earlier in the week. The move lower that we got on Friday, I think, was really on the back of some that weaker manufacturing ISM data. And so it's just showing that, you know, potentially that kind of, you know, the ability of the US economy on that activity side to defy gravity is called a little bit into question by that data. So that manufacturing ISM at 47.8 from 49.1 in January, and it was well below expectations. The hope was it would kind of inch higher towards that 50 break-even level between expansion and contraction. And in the detail there, it was, you know, weakness kind of across the board, but it was new orders that was showing kind of the most softness there. And so I think that just kind of, you know, speaks to that concern that, you know, maybe while there are some question marks over the strength of the data, both on the inflation side and on the employment side, in the January data, this manufacturing ISM is, you know, one piece to suggest that maybe that US economy isn't quite as strong as hoped. We also got some construction data on Friday, which by itself wouldn't usually get too much interest, but it was a little softer than expected as well. And I think, you know, the reason that's important is if we look at the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now tracker, which was up around 3% for a annualized quarterly rate for Q1, which would have been, you know, another very, very strong quarter. After that data on Friday, that's now running at 2.1%. So a little bit back down to earth, even though still reasonable. Robust.
Well, that's a huge move down, isn't it? So is this weaker data that we saw at the end of the week, is that, how much has that changed expectations then for how quickly the Fed is going to move?
Well, I think it just shows how data dependent that Fed pricing will continue to be, because, you know, we've heard the message from Fed speakers that they're not in a rush, they don't have any urgency while the economy is strong, but they do need to be more comfortable that inflation is back at that 2%, on that 2% trajectory. What that means is that, you know, the Fed officials do seem very open to responding if the data makes the case. As that comfort grows, they are comfortable responding and cutting. And so I think markets have to be sensitive to any data that comes in that direction. And we did see pricing for June now back above 90%. It was about 80% priced ahead of Friday. And we've got just over 90 basis points back in terms of cuts over 2024 as well.
But a different story in Europe, isn't it? So the CPI on Friday, inflation is coming down. But again, it's not, you know, in any great hurry. So the core rate year on year, this is for the whole of the Eurozone, down from 3.3% to 3.1%, whereas there was this hope, wasn't it? They would start with a 2. It would be 2.9%. So it's moving slowly. We're getting used to that everywhere, it seems.
Yeah. So, you know, continued progress on Eurozone inflation, but as you say, not as much as hoped in the month. The headline number 2.6 from 2.8, the consensus there was for 2.5, and that core number still a little bit above 3.1, but it was the seventh successive monthly fall. So, you know, there is some gradual progress there, but I think in contrast to that discussion we had about the, you know, the directional signal just from that you know, marginal data on Friday in the US, it does, you know, speak to the ECB's concerns about stickiness in inflation. When we look at the services subset of that inflation basket as well, it, you know, only edged lower to 3.9%. So still well above where they would want it to be. And certainly for ECB officials that are concerned about the pace of wage growth and wanting more evidence that is moderating to be more consistent with inflation sustainably at target, there's nothing in here to kind of give them too much relief. So, you know, in terms of the market reaction, there wasn't too much of a reaction to that. Oh, when you look over the day, though, you know, while yields in the US were lower, Europe kind of held up and kind of little change. We've got 10-year bund yields. Very little changed on the day. Eurozone pricing for the ECB, you know, still looking more towards June than April. And, you know, I think what we can expect from the ECB this week, you know, in the wake of this data, there probably isn't too much change. It's probably too late for any kind of surprises here to have like a meaningful impact on their forecasts. But I think, you know, while we expect their inflation forecast to be revised down, you know, how much do they get revised down and how confident are they talking around, you know, their confidence in that trajectory for it to be moving lower? And I think, you know, this data today probably does speak again to the hawks in the committee, you know, probably being able to, you know, make the case a bit stronger than they might have otherwise for caution and hesitance in moving away from restrictive settings too early.
Well, there's not a lot of caution in the equity markets, is there? I mean, this is a curious thing that, you know, we take your pick. Either, you know, the Fed and the ECB are going to keep interest rates higher for longer. That's not good for business. You would have thought that would be bad for equities. Or the economy is really slowing, and that's not, you wouldn't have thought that would be good for equities either. On both cases, whichever way you want to look at it, it seems strange that there is quite so much enthusiasm out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, fourth consecutive month of gains in February for the S&P 500 and, you know, another fairly strong day on Friday as well. I think, you know, one way to potentially make sense of that continued strength we've seen in equity markets, even as those hopes for Fed rate bets have been paired, is just, you know, the strength of the earnings season that we've seen in the US. So, you know, Bloomberg noting there that, you know, earnings growth in the fourth quarter was nearly 8%, and expectations heading into that earnings season was for about a 1.2% increase in growth. And so that earnings side of the picture, combined with that, you know, AI enthusiasm, chip makers again leading the way on Friday's gains, you know, that potentially looks like it's been a bit of an offset to that, you know, repricing of Fed expectations back closer to where we were late last year.
So, and we've had a load of Fed speakers as well. So the award, the bleeding obvious award, goes to Goolsbee. He was asked the question, how long will they stay restrictive for? His answer was, well, as long as we have to be. But did we get any more wisdom from anybody else? Because there was a lot of them out there, wasn't there?
Yeah, there were a few comments, nothing particularly new, but I think, you know, they do speak to those themes that I was talking about before, about, you know, should the data make the case, make the Fed more comfortable than they, you know, could be moving more quickly than their early projections implied. I read Goolsbee a little bit differently. He did say only as long as you have to be. And so, you know, for me, that means that, you know, they're reluctant to stay in restricted territory. They just need the data to suggest that they can move away. We heard kind of similar comments from Barkin that if the data comes in different, then we'd adjust. And so that openness to potentially moving more quickly rather than holding for longer. And Governor Kugler as well made some interesting comments, just, you know, still signaling that confidence that, you know, they can continue to see progress on disinflation without deterioration in the labor market. And so I think that kind of speaks to this lens that markets are bringing to the weaker activity data and potentially looking towards payrolls on Friday. Should we see softening there? Fed officials still aren't seeing that as necessary to see progress. So it would be, you know, give them more confidence fairly quickly, I think, if we did see weakening.
Yeah, absolutely. So a bit of movement in the yen on Friday. We were, of course, talking on Friday morning about Takata from the Bank of Japan, saying that that the case for putting an end to negative interest rates is starting to gain some traction. Well, it seems like Governor Ada might have tried to put the kibosh on that sort of thinking at the end of the week.
Yeah. So nothing too groundbreaking from Ueda, but I think it was important in the context of those comments from Takata on Thursday that did get people, potentially more enthusiastic that change could be coming very quickly. Ueda repeated kind of similar lines to what we've heard from him before, that they're going to continue to seek confirmation, whether that virtuous cycle between wages and prices that he's been talking about are coming into place. And, you know, he also said that we're not in a position to foresee the achievement of sustainable and stable inflation target at this point. And so, you know, while not suggesting that they're still not looking to move away at some point over this year, maybe not, not potential for that as soon as March coming into those comments. But the yen, well, it was the underperformer. The yen was the underperformer on Friday, but, you know, still up towards the top of the G10 leaderboard over the week.
Yeah, it was. So a glimmer of hope from China as well, wasn't it? So the manufacturing PMI on Friday went from 50.9 to 51.4. The Keijing manufacturing PMI also up a tiny bit. To 50.9. If we ignore the official manufacturing PMI, which is still in negative territory, still below 50, then it's all expansionary, albeit only just. I mean, you know, it's heading in the right direction anyway.
Yeah. Some good news there. So, you know, potentially some strengthening from where very weak levels across that manufacturing side. But I think, you know, the more interesting one there was that non-manufacturing PMI that did increase up, you know, above 50 and beating expectations a little bit. And so, you know, maybe that's suggesting that pickup in activity alongside the Lunar New Year holiday has some, you know, has some robustness to it. We've got the Caixin Services PMI coming up this week on Tuesday as well. So, you know, hopefully that will confirm a similar message. And then, you know, the other big thing to look out for in China this week is the outcomes of the National People's Congress. So maybe some headlines around policy priorities there. And the big one will be that economic growth target. Do they stick at the 5% that was kind of rumored after the work conference in October? Or, you know, potentially if they do shade it, you know, that would suggest that maybe that commitment to more robust policy stimulus is not as strong as it would otherwise be.
Or they'll keep it, in which case you can assume that there will be some sort of support coming. So, look, it's a quiet start to the week, isn't it? Busy later in the week, we get US labor market data, services ISM and the ECB, you've already mentioned, coming up this week. And Jerome Powell is testifying before the House Financial Services Committee in the US as well. But today, well, you know, New Zealand terms of trade for Q4 and Australian building approvals. That's all I can find, unless I'm missing something. But otherwise, very quiet day today.
Yeah, no, that's right. For what is a very busy week, we've got Australian GDP data on Wednesday, worth noting as well. But, you know, for the start of the week, Monday, you know, reasonably quiet calendar to kick off.
Nice to be lulled into a busy week slowly, isn't it? Thank goodness for that. We'll catch you again soon, Taylor. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Phil.
And that's the Morning Call for this Monday morning. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. Back tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening in today. See you soon.